his water off his system. And we chopped all his ATW and all his ATV money.
What happened?
And we got what we wanted. But I forgot what it was at the time. It was something on an education bill.
All pressure, all Indiana politicians play a problem. And he's a typical Indiana politician.
Yep.
Democratic side. And he's a vicious, he's pretty leftist.
Right?
Yep. And intelligent with it all.
Correct. Right. So. But I think we
all have... deep.
No, it wasn't an election. It's appointed.
It's appointed. Only deal with money.
Yeah.
Look and see if it's the same as what you saw before. I think it is.
Yeah, I
that question we talked about this morning.
You could go in the press room and say, here's what we're doing, and then turn it over to him for questions. I think that the polls are showing very strong support for this guy. And the New York Times was absolutely lyrical yesterday about the economy and about spending limitations and about the... I never saw such a turn of events.
I'm not sure that we want to do that at the present time. I have a... Everybody's got a very good intuition here. At this point, my intuition is usually not wrong. On public exposure, you know, come a time we want a hell of a lot of I'm inclined to think that on this, I'd rather have that thing be Schultz. Make an argument the other way. I well remember, John, that 1957.
The unemployment thing, though, is, and here again, Barr says, I think that we'll be at a 4.2 to 4.5% level at the end of 73, which is more optimistic than our guys are being by a long shot. But the thing's running, the stream's running in the right direction. And that helped in November, I'm sure.
Oh, it helped in our
season. People weren't being laid off.
Yeah.
in somebody's AA
they didn't seem to be like that. Those are about the awesome. They tell a lot about their wives. I saw damn few pretty wives.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, Democrat or Republican, there weren't so many Democrats there, as a matter of fact. But even those, they were not impressive too. I think the Democrats were impressive. Matter of fact, Bennett Johnson was one of the more impressive.
Yes.
And I must say, sure, he's you got to look at this whole half of it. I mean, quite a person going to be marvelous then. Suppose you were in Maine. Imagine a vote for a woman 75 years old instead of Hathaway. Well, you did for Hathaway, but don't you?
Yeah, sure.
And you look at the guy here who was here from Iowa. He isn't much to look at, sort of heavy set and so forth and so on. But he at least looks alive and never looks tired.
Yeah.
He's pompous. Guy from Colorado.
That's the difference. The guy from Colorado at least is not pompous.
Yeah, was he there?
Is he against Allen? Yeah. Attractive guy.
Yes, he was a good looking guy.
With a bright looking wife.
They were a good looking guy. She was a really good looking person. They had they had the stars in their eyes. They were upbeat,
yeah,
as if there was something in the others looked too. I don't want to run our guys down.
Yeah.
But then I just felt again that Wilson had let us down, so maybe we let him. I don't know. That's our fault, I guess. We gotta do something about the candidates.
What were we doing?
Nothing, I guess. Of course, we had to get elected ourselves. We were following Connally and Mitchell, who were the two wisest men I know, and Rader, who's in them. All agreed that the best tactic was simply to run as well as we can. And as Connally said, they've got to grab your coach, or they've got to, you can't pull them up. He's right.
Bush totally agrees with that, too.
And these guys knew one at a time what you talked about.
What did they say?
Just that, that it wouldn't have made any difference. To Allen or to
Miller. I hope that Margaret Smith or Margaret, those three, no difference.
I asked
Caleb Fox, it might have been. No president's ever gone to Dollar, so how the hell can we justify going to Dollar?
Really? I think we went.
And of course, we did go to Kentucky, but didn't quite make it. We got a pretty good man.
Yeah, but you got Michael Lund going there.
And Lund wasn't a hell of a good candidate.
No, he sure was.
He was very, frankly,
I asked this old boy from Colorado why he beat out. And he said, I don't know. I think it was the Olympic Games.
He's an environmentalist.
Well, he was on the right side of that issue. And Alan was on the wrong side for the mass of people.
Well, if he really wants to put it down to us, he would do because of the mind, because of the personality of it. And the Senate personality matters a great deal. In the House, it doesn't matter a hell of a lot. Because they vote in the national elections, they're thinking about presidents, but they do think about senators.
Mm-hmm.
And God damn, you think of Alec, Alec is a singularly depressing guy, but God damn,
but he's so negative in his personal deal.
Yeah.
Well, and his wife is the same.
Whining,
oh, God, his wife, oh, yeah, picture.
Yeah.
You've got to be sort of smiling, upbeat, even when you maybe just die and kill them. You know, and lead, charge, and so forth. It's why around here, you know, that why I thought McGregor was so good for us, because McGregor was a Nazi. I never came in with a long face.
Yeah.
You know, I don't mean that they don't have McGregor. He wasn't aware that there were difficult problems, but he never brought them in here. And you need people that will come in and bounce, you know. I don't mean in this office. I meant
that personality thing is right, and I think it is. You're going into a state to try and prop up a Sauer Sanders.
No way.
Just like
good.
Well, into their business.
Sure. Look, we basically have to face a pretty good example of it was there in Oklahoma.
And I was going to say that
Costner, it is impossible. To win a state 70% and not carry a congressman. If you've been in the damn town that was in the town, but you see Mayor Hughley and then you see this young Johnson.
Yeah.
And who are you going to vote for? Are you going to vote for Johnson?
Sure.
Right. Boy, that was something. And let me say this.
Remember, we got the reason we went.
So there was a giant that
certainly got in.
There certainly won. Barton. Well, I know. But Barton, we may have pushed him over with that, too.
Yeah, he did, Barton. But hey, that Nicky Mix.
I understand the Barton, but I was sure on that. two solid votes.
Do you want to run down on the Watergate going in? You asked about it yesterday.
Oh, yes, what was the situation?
Well, the way it appears now is that Hunt is going to take a guilty plea on three counts. And he'll do it after Silver's opening statement, and the jury is impaneled and sequestered. They will ask him, presumably, whether there were any higher-ups involved after he takes his guilty plea, and he'll say no, and he'll go to jail. The rest, apparently, will go to trial. The attorney for the Cubans, this guy Rothblatt, is a super guy who wants to play the game with him. Liddy is not going to go guilty. He's going to go for an innocent plea, go to trial on the basis of the hope for an error, that he thinks he can screw something up somewhere, that they'll screw something up somewhere and he'll get off. They all will sit mute. None of them will testify. And
they don't have to testify.
And none of them will take the stand except McCord, who does intend to take the stand, but McCord has no first-hand knowledge of any involvement of other people, therefore Dean's not too worried about his taking the stand. All of the Cubans and Liddy, if convicted, which presumably they will be, and if immunized after conviction by the Congress in order to take them up there for stuff, will sit mute and will take contempt of Congress charges rather than testifying for Congress. At least that's their present position.
Can the Congress come bring them up and immunize them? Can the court immunize them?
Grand jury.
What?
Grand jury proceeding. The court immunizes them. And what the procedure would be after their sentence? To bring it back in.
The grand jury.
Or the grand jury. Either one.
But the Cubans intend not to talk. And it's not clear what the defense is going to be with the Cubans at this point.
Did you see the Marty Schramm story over the weekend? There's a story loose to the effect that this is a CIA unit that has bagged a lot of embassies here, hopefully including the Chilean embassy. And that's been kicking around now for 2-3 weeks. Newsday finally ran it as a story. And they assert that there is a CIA project officer who has run this unit and that they've been in existence for some time.
That may be part of them using that as for the defense. The one thing Dean raises in the congressional thing is whether we have in any way any hard evidence that the plane was bugged. And the reason he asks is that it goes to the point that he's thinking of the strategy on the Hill of going for an attempt to force the Congress to investigate hanky-panky in both 68 and 72. Rather than letting him just go to an investigation of 72 activities. And he can't conceive that we can't also start moving on individual senators and some of the problems they wouldn't like, known as to what they've done and not done. But also the question of whether, see, that plane bug thing was lobbed out. Who had the story? Somebody here. Remember, the Star had the story.
And Johnson admitted it.
Well, sort of.
Did you
fighting in Vietnam, you're doing the right thing,
yeah,
all that stuff. And he's playing a lot. He's had George Christian lobbying some stuff in. He's playing a lot of games to keep us
on
track.
I think what you can do on this one, I think that the one ball that I do deal with, I'll go with it. Which integrates his confidence that he's probably been talking to Connie about it. So you're going to be better than this. What do you think? You think he's going to tell Johnson?
I'm not sure what I'm going to ask him. City service deal is in there in the Saudis. So Well, I think in the congressional context, you have to be in a position to go to somebody like Peter Humphrey and say, Senator, there are very strong reasons why this whole inquiry is not a good idea. And here's a statement that I'll show you by a fellow who was in the Bureau at the time. And I think you'll see the implications.
Well, why don't you get over to Mitchell and see what he can do? I assume Mitchell has been told.
Was what I was... I had been all into it before.
Mitchell has said, Bob, he has said candidly that J. Edgar Hoover told him.
Right.
I don't know how it came up that we found out about it. Why Hoover would ever have told him. Or did we suspect...
Well, I think it was in that whole period of time involving bugging and the question of authorization of bugging and all that. Remember, there was a lot of controversy at one point.
Well, Hoover was ingratiating himself with you and was oiling around about how Johnson had the White House telephone lines all monitored and all that stuff, you know, telling you what you ought to watch out for and what he was up to.
Yeah, he said don't make calls from your White House phone. Well, why don't you get at it?
See,
enormous
California. He's determined on that. He isn't interested in any of the things in any of the rest of the country. Doesn't want to go to New York, doesn't want to stay in Washington, doesn't want to take anything in the Midwest. You know, there were some possibilities for his thing that he's not interested in. He's still considering going to something in this anniversary of journalism as a consultant. He's still considering the comedy opportunity, but he's not quite sure how to go at it, and he can't figure out how to go at it. The problem is Jim is, you know, 90% dead when he never dies. He's not sure how to go at that. And the other thing is some weird political thing he thinks are screwed up, but he becomes the coalescing factor for the Republican Party in California.
Right.
Well, and that's the thing, though, that's the way we've got to do it, or, and I get that done right.
said, I do have the initiative, which is not true, but she likes to think so. I'm getting letters on good editorials and that kind of thing.
Now, she said,
yeah, and she did. The problem was that she'd get one or two good editorials in her mail, and then she'd check, and there hadn't been a response from her, which there often hadn't because he wasn't passed on. But there were hundreds of them that did have responses on it, and, you know, he missed some. He's a lousy operator. He doesn't have a good job. And you can't just do that. He wants those. You can't put good people in there. We tried that, too. We tried to put good people in there. And they went nuts. Now, Clausen we had in there, ostensibly, as Herb's deputy.
What happened?
Well, he couldn't work for Herb, so he just worked for Colson. He became Colson's operative. He just sat by his office for a facade. That was the first day.
Why can't they work?
Because Herb is so mushy that nothing ever happens. He insists on personally approving everything and never gets around to it.
Carry on.